Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Marketing Corner.
Boop, boop. You're waiting for it now.
Just kind of anticipating it.
Yeah, you're ready for it now.
We're back again with another episode, and this is episode 73.
73,
wow.
Baby.
Wow, getting there. Boop, boop. Closing in on the 100. 100, baby. Today, we're going to be talking about a little bit of a fun talk we had internally between us, where it's like, hey, how do you motivate your team?
Yes.
And is that different in marketing? So today we're talking about motivating your team. Yes. And I want to kick it over to you, Jen, first. You have a big team. How many else on your team today?
11 in total, wow. Plus me. So 12.
12. Okay, yes. Wow. That's a big team.
That's a big team.
How do you keep them motivated?
It's
super easy.
Yes. Just get your pens out, ladies and gentlemen. Now, I think this is, you know, the reason I wanted to talk about this, I just met with my mentee. Shout out to Sandra. Whoop, whoop. And it was something that, you know, she was asking about. It's something that I've experienced, and I think anyone who manages anyone wants to motivate people. But I think marketers have an extra challenge because a big part of what motivates us is when we feel valued, when we feel seen, when we feel like we're contributing, it motivates us to do more.
Yes.
And I think in marketing, anyone who's ever had a Facebook account thinks they understand marketing. Everyone has an opinion. And I often find I teeter on this line of under communicating what we're doing so people think we're not doing anything.
Yeah.
Or getting to the point where I have to teach everyone marketing because everyone has an opinion of what we should be doing.
Yes.
And that, so those two things for me go hand in hand of like, how do I make sure that people see the value that we're bringing? Because that will motivate my team. And then how do I keep my team motivated when maybe we aren't hitting our targets and we aren't being, you know, appreciated or getting credit. And I say credit in air quotes because it's not about a pat on the back, but when you are hitting your targets, when you are generating revenue, that's where you get the headcount. That's where you get the resources. That's where you get the budget. And unless you're able to do that, you're going to just struggle more and more.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where this came out.
Okay.
So and maybe we have different perspectives because mine is an in-house marketing team. You're an agency.
That is different. And that is actually something I'm working on. Like kind of, I don't have a concrete plan for this part of the business, to be completely honest. But it's something I'm aware of. Let's put it that way. Because when I was in-house, just like you, like one of the things how I would motivate my team at United FinTech, but also at Templify and such, was actually results. Like a lot of the results, just like getting that pat on the back. So, and being, in order to get the pat on the back, you have to be able to prove you did something to deserve it.
Yes.
So we worked very hard on proving, and we get back to the whole attribution and all that stuff, but just like collectively showing that internally, hey, we actually helped deliver this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So presenting at all hands meetings, like doing these kind of things that would go up, and that would go a long way, especially for me as like I come from a paid acquisition background, right? Mm-hmm. Like I'm very data driven in nature. Like that's, I like numbers, right? Like I'm not the one who goes out and designs a new PowerPoint slide or something.
Yeah.
So for me, that was always been an important part for me, and I kind of brought that to the team as well. So I always made sure that every single part of the team has some sort of tangible goal, has something that could motivate them, like at least could feel motivational.
Yeah.
That's been working so far. Like it's been working pretty well. It's very different as an agency, I can tell you that much. Because yes, we have targets for clients and such, but there's suddenly a lot of targets, right? I think there's like a fallacy that goes like in like, hey, an agency should celebrate as much as you do. Don't get me wrong, we really celebrate when we succeed with clients, but I don't think I'm not like lying to myself. I'm never going to celebrate as much as a client does. I just can't. I'm not with you every day. It's fine. Like I really celebrate when you have wins and I'm really happy on your behalf and I will do that, but it's like it's not the same.
So
to motivate my team, I have to do something else. So targets is a good way, but we also do a lot of in-house activities, like just like standard things. It's not out of the ordinary, like team events. Make sure we have team events every 3 months. Make sure we have activities around birthdays and all these kind of things. And then I make sure if every team member has something to strive towards for their personal development.
Yes.
So I don't make development plans, but I kind of like say, hey, where are we headed?
Yeah.
Where do you want to go? And then like try to paint that picture together with them.
Mm-hmm.
And then like, okay, we know this is where you want to go. How do we get there?
Yeah. And I think that's, yeah, I think that's motivating people. It also comes down to their personalities. You know, some people are just happy for flexible working and a regular salary. They do their job, they go home.
Yeah.
And then there's other people I find who are maybe a little bit younger in their career who have really big ambitions.
Yeah.
And you have to kind of, you know, as a people manager of 11 people, I have to balance all of their needs and all of their emotions and all of their egos and things like that. And it can be very intense to kind of keep everyone happy. Another thing, you know, we have like a shout out channel. Now there's some people, you know, in Slack, and this is company wide. There's some people on my team who love being in that channel. I love it. And there's some people who get turned inside out with awkwardness at the thought of it. So, you know, motivating people is, there is an element of psychology in it, like finding out what makes people tick, what makes them excited. But I think broadly speaking, we look at KPIs. And episode 54, we did KPIs for creative teams.
Yeah.
Because for my demand gen team, it's pretty easy. Like, you have a target and
hit
that target. But for creative people, for our soulmate person, a lot harder. ABM person, you know, you're looking at a 12 to 18 month sales cycle. So she doesn't even know if her efforts have paid off yet. And she's been in the company for almost a year and a half.
Yeah.
So how do you find other ways to motivate?
But I also find like it's a bit of a weird balance, right? Because like, under one side, you have these like paid acquisition team or whatever, like the people who work with paid search and paid social and so forth. They can kind of like, hey, we did this ad or we did this something. We can prove there's a direct correlation. Mm-hmm. And the creative folks often struggle with that. Hey, I did this. Like, it was part of that program. And
well, like you said in the last episode, you had 120 different ads.
Yeah.
One of them worked.
One of them worked, right? Like, so I think there's a balance. But what I've also found is that you typically, as a creative, if you do something cool, like a cool image or like cool video or something, you get appraised like so much.
Yeah, people
like,
love the video.
Trust me, when you like, if you're looking for appraisal, if you don't want to post on LinkedIn or on Twitter, just go fucking make a slide deck for your sales team. Trust me, you will never get more appraisal in your life.
Yeah,
like that is insane. Mm-hmm. I remember we did it at United FinTech when I hired a guy. Shout out to Yurei. Super cool designer, and when he redid all the slides for all the salespeople, like the pitch deck and all this stuff, like, and it went from okay to good to like amazing, like really really good, and like the amount of like positive feedback was like exploding like all over the place, and I just remember thinking like, okay, well, there you go. There's your motivation.
There's your motivation. I think we have the same thing. Like if we do something new on the website, people love it.
And that's exactly. Great, you know? It's tangible, right?
It's tangible.
You can feel it, right? Yeah.
But I think one of the other things that I'm really campaigning for, and maybe we're a little bit behind on this at Anamundo, is multi-touch attribution.
Yes.
Because right now we do 100% credit to first touch.
Oh, God.
So when you are the SOMI manager, when you're doing ABM, when you're doing sales enablement, when you're doing lower funnel content, you're not the first touch. So you never get that, like, you know, we can point that and go, you did this.
Yeah.
And so that's something that we're really, really focusing on building this attribution. And I've worked in companies that had it, and that was so much better because I can say, look, SOMI, you helped this deal come across the line. Look, customer success. Look at the reviews. The reviews that you helped us cultivate have helped close this deal.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, shout out to Dream Data. That's who we used in previous companies. But I think that also helps give people a tangible thing that they can point to and say, I helped.
Definitely. And I think it's an interesting point. Like, because like what I've typically would set up was like, in marketing, I feel like it tends to be a lot of celebration in unison. Like when you have a deal that closes and you can say it's sourced by marketing, whatever source it is, we celebrate together.
Mm-hmm.
Where that's a lot of, it's just different in sales. Like, yes, some salespeople celebrate together, but it's not the same. Like, hey, Karsten closed that deal. Then Karsten fucking goes crazy and his manager goes crazy. But the people around Karsten are like, yeah, great, man.
Yeah, good job. Good for you. I'm still missing my target. Like,
yeah, here, quiet down. Where's my commission check?
Yeah.
Right? Where in marketing, like if the deal closes and you can say, hey, that was from paid search, like, most of the marketeers like, I don't give a shit. That's marketing, man.
Yeah, yeah, hopefully.
Like, yeah, right?
It depends because some people are like that, but other people are like, well, they also visited our profile. They also visited our website. They also downloaded this content.
I've never
like,
felt that though.
Well, I'll give you an example. I'll give you an example. In a previous company, won't say who, we closed a huge global name.
Yeah.
You would have heard of it. Everyone at home would have heard of it. And 100% of that credit went to an outbound sales.
Yeah.
And this was first touch. We had Dream Data. Shout out to Dream Data and the folks out there.
Yeah.
And we could see that there were 90 marketing touch points.
Yeah.
There was one email that was sent out, 90 marketing touch points. Marketing got zero credit.
Yeah.
Zero credit for that deal. And that sucks, yeah. You know, and that's, you know, it can be very demotivating because we can see 90 pieces of content, websites, SoMe, reviews, all the stuff that we invest time in that people tell us is a waste of time.
Yeah.
Actually brought this deal across the line.
Mm.
And so that's kind of what I mean by that of like, yeah, we maybe if that came through paid search, yes, of course, maybe someone will be like, well, actually, it was the website that helped. But that's why for me, I think it's very demotivating if you just give you. I was thinking about this the other day, actually, and over the weekend. Hear me out. You played team sports. You played American football.
Yes, a little bit, yeah.
Did you play like basketball or?
I played handball a lot.
Handball. Okay, so like, in handball you have
7 years or something,
forwards. You know, you have forwards who score, you have the midfielders. Is it, I don't know, handball.
You clearly don't understand.
I'm talking about soccer. Okay, I'm going to talk about field hockey. That's what I know.
Field hockey.
But you have forwards who score, you have midfield, then you have defense, and then you have the goalie, right?
Yes.
I was a goalie. Yeah. I was a very accomplished goalie. I did well. I was on the U.S. national team, blah, 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 blah. So I know my shit.
I didn't actually know that.
Yeah, wow. I know my shit. But I measured my success based on my saves. That's what I did. That was my contribution. You know, as a team, we had
now
a goal.
I know where you're headed. Okay.
Yeah, we had a goal. My measure of success was not how many goals did we score.
Yeah.
Because if that's how I was measured, I would feel like shit.
Because
I never scored a goal, but I was not there to score the goals. And I think that's something we do a lot of times in B2B or in organizations is we give that sale. And I'm not saying sales isn't important, but that's the thing. Everyone's being measured on how much MRR are we generating.
Yeah.
But actually, that's not everyone's goal. Everyone is still contributing. You know, we're passing the ball forward. We're doing our – I'm stopping the goals because you can't win if you don't stop the goals.
Yeah, exactly.
But I'm not scoring any goals. So I think when he talks to how to motivate people, you have to look at what is the thing that they can control, what can they get good at, and how do we measure that and tie it to the success.
I totally
agree. Tie to the MRR.
That makes a lot of sense.
And that's what I'm trying to get to. That's my sports reference.
That was a great one, though, by the way.
Thank
you. I just want to point it out. I think one of the things you alluded to in the beginning, too, was also that I want to – and this is something I've thought about implementing in SparkForce. We're not there yet, but it's on my massive long to-do list.
Mm-hmm.
But it's introducing like talent profiles or like these personal profiles of people, profiling people on the team. Because there are like my team, like there's a lot of different, like people are motivated by different things, like very different levels of motivation with different things. And and I think it's my job to kind of figure out what it is that motivates them. Because like a lot of people, like a lot of people are motivated by numbers and reaching these targets.
Yes.
But there's a lot of people who are not.
Yeah,
like
exactly. It's a personality type, right? A salesperson gets into sales and that's what they like.
Yeah.
But a creative person doesn't get into creative because they like numbers.
No,
they
exactly.
Like,
right.
Yeah.
Like I have a lot of creative people on my team, and I have delivery managers, like project managers ish, and I have other types of those people, and they're like. They're close to the results, but not that close, right?
Yeah.
So I have to find other ways to motivate them and beyond just like the, hey, doing stuff together, activities and stuff. And that's kind of what I'm hoping to achieve, like mapping out their personalities. That's like part of my, it's called culture roadmap for 2024, is that I want to map out all the personalities and make sure that we take that into consideration somehow.
We're literally doing that now at Section.
Cool.
Yeah, so we
step ahead of us.
Our COO Yanis, who does listen while he walks his dog.
Shout out to Yanis.
Hey Yanis. he introduced something called Working Geniuses, where you do a very 5-10 minute test, and it shows you kind of what you get energy from, but what drains your energy.
Exactly, energy drain.
It's eye opening if you believe in this, which I'm actually at first maybe I wasn't. I was kind of like, like in general personality tests, but I am seeing a lot of correlations.
Yeah.
So, and what we've seen is like there's wanderers who like to kind of think and you know. Yeah. Ponder, and then there's discerners who are like, everything's a bad idea.
Yeah.
You know, they want to pick everything apart, and you need all of these people.
Yeah.
And then you have like the tenacity people where you get shit done.
Yeah.
I'm tenacity. I'm very high on tenacity, but I'm very low on discerning. So I can see that in myself of like, can we, you know, I always say this, shit or get off the pot. Can we stop talking and can we start doing? What are we going to do?
Yeah.
Whereas we have a lot of discerners on the team who like to think and they like to process, and how do we balance that? And actually one of the things that our director,
that's super cool.
It's really interesting to see where we have gaps.
Yeah.
And one of the things that we've been able to do with this, and shout out to Thijs Van Dusler, because he is our demand gen director, and he realized that his team is not high on tenacity, very high on discerning and thinking. So he's created execution meetings where they get together and it's, let's put our heads down and we're going to execute,
do
execute, execute. Yeah. Because it's very easy for people of that personality to think and ponder and wander. But, you know, when it comes down to getting stuff done, that's where I come in and go, guys.
Yeah. I'm totally like
something to
I
check
think
out.
I'm much of an executor as well.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I'm not a big thinker. Believe it or not.
You said it.
Yeah. But no,
I,
think, so
I did a test once where, I don't know, but it's in Danish, but it was called, I was found as like you could be multiple different personality types. Mm-hmm. And what I was labeled as an enthusiast and then an enthusiast on top of that. So you could be the same type.
Enthusiastic
same,
enthusiast.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Wow.
So
you
I'm
sound
like,
exhausting.
But I'm, yeah, exactly. I think I'm like, I'm the super optimist who's like always visionary, like always like, where do we go next?
Yeah.
Here's a Ferrari. How do we get to that?
Yeah.
Like, let's go. Let's do this. And like, I'm that kind of guy. And then
that's good for a CEO to have.
I think it's pretty good, actually. Now that I think about it, I think it's good. I think it's good if you're in sales. Most salespeople are this type.
Yeah, yeah. You have to.
I, as a CEO, I'm kind of in sales. Like, I'm all about that jam. I love it. Don't get me wrong, but.
But maybe you need to surround yourself with people who go, slow down, let's think about this. And that's how you get the balance, right?
And I've actually, also the reason I wanted to bring it up is that I've tried in the past, I've also found that sometimes one of the things that can be demotivating is that I would sometimes set up unrealistic expectations. Mm-hmm. Like sometimes I would be pushing the team too hard for a goal that might not always matter. Sometimes it'd be like, can we do this within 2 weeks? We can fucking do this within 2 weeks. And then we would do this and I'm like, yeah, we did it. And we're like, yay. And then the rest of the organization would be like, okay, great. Awesome.
Yeah. And?
Why haven't you done this pitch deck?
Yeah. About that one pager.
Yeah. Fuck off.
Yeah.
Right? And I think it's just, I think sometimes when you set up unrealistic expectations for your team, and they run as fast as they can to get there because they want to make you happy. That's what motivates them to some extent, right?
Yeah.
Then when you go and get there, or like even if you get there and the client's not happy, nobody actually ends up happy. I found that really hurts morale. So I'm trying to. I've got people around me now who can kind of like keep me on a loose sometimes when I'm like, hey Casper, like we had the CEO, if I can shout out to Christian here, but actually he was explaining it pretty good. Like he's a very visionary type too, like the CEO of United Fintech, super cool. But he would always explain himself as like a wild dog. He would run as fast as fucking possible, but sometimes like we needed to make sure he was running the right direction. So he surrounded himself with people who would make sure that he was running in the right direction. Mm-hmm. But if he was running, nobody could catch him. Like he would be the best player, like rah. And I think I'm a bit the same. I can run really fast, like I run this way, but I need people who like sanity check me a little bit. Hey, we're going the right direction, we're going the right direction. Yeah. Cool, okay, I'll run.
And that's where the balance and understanding. Yeah. And I think that leads to another interesting point of something, you know, since becoming a leader, you know, and I've been a leader for a couple of years now. No one tells you slow down.
No.
You know, and that is a problem. And for anyone who's listening who is a leader, start asking different questions.
Yeah.
Because the second I started asking questions, instead of going, how's everything going? Are you happy? Are you happy? Are you happy? Everyone's like, yes,
I'm always
boss.
Happy.
Oh, I'm happy. I love it. Everything's wonderful.
Yeah.
But the second you start saying, do you feel fulfilled in what you're doing? Do you feel that you're providing value? Are you doing things the way that you would like to do them or like you think is the best? Then you start to get the real answers of like, well, actually, you kind of steamrolled me on this call, or, you know, you I don't agree with this direction. And then you're like, okay, you know, I need that too, because I'm like, I wouldn't say I'm like full on pit bull, but I'm very like, this is where we're going. Let's go. What are you doing? What are you doing?
Yeah.
And sometimes it's hard to stop and go, is this the right direction?
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, case in point.
And it can be very demoralizing, right?
Yeah. Because
that's the other part. Like, part of motivating your team is making sure they don't get demotivated.
Yeah. But if they don't tell you, because they may be, you know, and we don't have all the answers. We have the best answer with the information we have.
I think that's really hard.
Yeah.
Like, for me, I've been struggling a lot with that. Like, I love my team, and I don't get me wrong. We have extreme, I practice very transparency, like, in everything we do. Like, we've talked a lot about this pricing on the side and stuff. And I just do it with the team. Like, there's no, like, you can ask me anything.
Yeah.
I'll tell you anything.
Yeah.
We had a new guy join here in February, Peter, shout out to Peter, but he was asking me in a weekly one-to-one, hey, I don't know if I can ask you this. I'm like, I don't know what you're about to ask me, Peter, but of course you can ask me this.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care what it is. Ask, go crazy.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that's just like, okay, he needed to learn that. I'm full on that.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that people, like when I ask them, how are they, that they always tell me the exact truth.
Exactly. Right? And I think that's what if you're a manager, people start asking different questions. Yeah. If you're not a manager and you think your manager is making the wrong call, you need to tell them.
Yeah,
and that's the
exactly.
thing I keep telling my team of like, I, you know, and I've had people who are like, I don't want to step on toes. And I'm like, no, I need the full picture because
just
I
give
have
it to me straight.
I have someone coming down from above telling me we need to do this, and I'm like, let's go. But if you think it's the wrong direction, tell me. Because if you don't tell me, and this kind of what we talked about off air, is setting those parameters. Or, you know, imagine you're with your partner, and they do something that pisses you off, but you've never told them that pisses you off. Then it's kind of unreasonable for them to get pissed off at you. So if you don't tell me, you don't think this is the right decision, then you can't get pissed off that we're going in this direction.
And I found that, like, for me personally, like, and that's what I try to, like, I'm a big determinant of the culture of SparkForce. Mm-hmm. Like, a lot of it stems from how I want things to be and how I do things. Mm-hmm. Like, my nature of how I operate is how that shapes a lot of the culture. It doesn't shape everything. I have a team of, we're 14 people now, right? Yeah. But it shapes a lot of it, like how I treat things. So how I treat transparency, how I treat the, like, these things matter a lot. And how I get motivated is also spreads across the team, that they feel the same. They need to be motivated in the same way.
Yeah.
And I'm very aware that that's a good thing, but that's also a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because I need to make sure that I try to do the same exercise of surrounding myself with people who can tell me. I literally, like, before when I was just alone, I would never ask, hey, can we do this? Like, I would just do it, right? But now I'm like, literally, whenever I, like, before I, like, sometimes when a client say, and then we want to do this, and then I look at the other people like, I think we can do this. Guys, can we do this? Then they all go, yeah, we can do this. Okay, cool. We can do this. Right?
Yeah.
Like, so I do the small check-ins, right? Just to make sure we can actually do it. And I feel like, I haven't talked too much about my team with that, so maybe I should do that. But that feels like it motivates them a lot.
Yeah.
Because they feel like, okay, they can commit to the deadlines we set together.
Mm-hmm. And that's really important. I mean, maybe that brings me, because we're getting over time a little bit, but I want to talk a little bit about how we meet with our teams and how we make sure, you know, so we do daily stand-up for 10 minutes every single day.
You do the daily ones?
We do a daily one.
Wow.
Yeah, so as a growth team.
That's intense, though.
It's a new thing that we start. So we used to do a company-wide daily where every single person in the company, but now we're like 88 people. it was going on to like 15, 20 minutes. So now we meet as a team. We do a daily. And then I have a daily with my extended leadership team. We call it the ELT. So it's all the managers, all the directors, so kind of everyone. So, you know, if there's a problem, we need to know so I can tell my team, this is happening, this isn't working, whatever.
Yeah.
Then we do a weekly where it's more of a deep dive. Right now, it kind of is turning into a to-do list. So we're going to shift it more towards, we have three major projects.
Yeah.
How is everyone contributing to this project, whether it's an event, whether it's a campaign? Ads are here, creatives are there, copies here. And then one thing that I do is I have biweekly one-to-ones with the managers of my team to make sure they're doing okay. And then I do monthly walk and talks, half hour with every single person on the team.
Gotcha.
So my last 2 weeks of every month are kind of packed.
Yeah.
But it's really important for me to have that time with them. And we purposely leave the office. We go for a walk. We get a coffee. And that's where I'm like, no holds barred. Please tell me what's going on. And always want, you know, can I be doing better? Is there something frustrating you? And that's where... and that's where I've also learned to start asking different questions of making sure I get it. So that's kind
of
how
I do a lot
of
the same. I don't do the daily stand-ups.
Yeah.
I'm actually a little bit against those, but that's maybe a different talk for a different day. but
it can be a little bit much.
It sounds a little bit much, right?
Yeah.
Like, but maybe that's just me.
But I think from our culture of like everyone doing a stand-up to teams, it's a transition phase.
Okay. I have weekly catch-ups, but most of my team, but now that we've gotten so many people, like I've had to move some of them weeklies to bi-weeklies, and some of the people I work with a lot, I've moved to monthly.
Right.
Because I just don't have the time.
You don't have the time.
I just don't, and it's a matter of delegation and matter of we're figuring out our org structure, who reports to who, and then, and then like everybody, this sounds a bit arrogant, but everybody wants to talk to me, and that's cool, but I just don't have time to have weekly meetings with everyone. Like that's, if I wanted to do that, that would be 13 weekly meetings, or, you know, like I would,
that's your whole week.
That's 2 days. That's literally two full days. Or something, right?
Exactly.
So I can't do that. So, so I had to change a few things as well. And then, so we do that. And then we have a weekly, all hands meeting where everyone is mandatory, but everyone's is there. And then, we talk sales, we talk people, like how's it going? Not everyone's happy, but like new people joining, people leaving. Mm. It hasn't been a lot of leavers, so pretty simple. But and then we talk sales, and then everyone is Then from every week, we decide who presents next time. So somebody presents a new topic and shows some learnings or some cool stuff they've done or something similar. So,
that's cool.
So that's pretty good. And that's something I think I learned from Templify to have that all-hands meeting. It just unifies. And then we always have room for questions. So people can ask an open forum like, hey, Casper, how's it going with the pension? Did we get a pension? How is this one going?
Yeah.
What's the next step on this part and stuff?
Yeah, we do monthly all-hands that our CEO runs. And that's where he goes through the numbers, but he'll also cover kind of core projects, you know, that we're doing and stuff like that. So that's really...
So you do monthly.
Yeah. We do monthly all hands with the whole company with 88 people.
But it also makes sense if you do daily stand-ups, right? Like then you probably don't need like weekly all hands in the same
boat. No, that would be too frequent for us. Yeah, yeah, definitely. But and I think the what I also wanted to say was following up on something you said, but now I've lost it. But I think also, not to drag this on too much longer, but also this transition of being a like an IC, individual contributor, to a leader. And that is a big adjustment. I think that's something that people forget. Like they think you come out of the womb as a vice president, you know, and it's been a learning curve for me as well. So it's also, you know, I need that feedback. I need the people on my team. You know, I hired everyone for a reason. I need you to give me that feedback. How are you doing? And how am I doing?
And it's like that is actually, and I know it's going to sound so easy to say this, right? It's so blasphemic or whatever you say, but I am really motivated by my team's success.
So yeah, 100%.
When I see my team succeed, when I see especially the new folks, like the ones, the young guns, also the old guns, don't get me wrong, but especially the young guns, because I'm like, they're so nervous and so it's the first gig and stuff, right? When they see success and I can see them growing, oh God, man.
Yeah, that, it feels really good.
I fucking love that.
We have our weekly team meeting every Tuesday. Yeah. That's today. And I got to put a lot of, so I share all our numbers. So I want everyone to be comfortable with the numbers. Here's where we are with MQLs, SQLs, blah, 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 MRR, pipeline. I got to put some stuff in green because we hit the target, you know, and it's just such a cool feeling of like, I made that green.
Yeah.
It's been orange for so long and now it's green. And like, and it gives, it's so great to see, because I didn't do that. You know, I hired good people who came together and did that. And that's a really nice thing to see.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And that's one of the things I do say to my team, and I've said it to my CEO, and he's a wonderful man. Shout out Michael. But I said, you know, I'm not here. If Anamondo does great. But actually, it's the people. Like, yeah, I want my people to... No one's going to stay in the same company for their entire lives.
Exactly.
Unfortunately. And no matter how great the company is, shout out to Anamondo. But, you know, people aren't going to be here forever. But, you know, I want them to look back and go, I really learned a lot. I really got a lot out of it. I don't want people to go, God, my boss was a dick.
No, exactly.
That's no one wants
I think
that.
There was a really good... I think it was Jesper from Templify who once said that when I left and stuff. I think we had a chat about it. Because he said, like, people leave companies, but they don't leave the people, right? Yeah. So you always have like a place, like and people can always come back. And you see it all the time. I see people who left Templify years ago, and now they're like, "Hey, I'm coming back."
Yeah.
And we work with. I can say that it's a client, right? So I work with them again, right? And it feels like coming home, right?
Oh,
like,
nice.
It's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like That's very motivating, at least for me.
To see the people, the people be happy and
it's
the
about
people.
Them.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. And that's not because we're up for sainthood. That is genuinely how we feel.
No sainthood. And on that note. Let's close it for today. Thanks for listening in.
Yep.
Keep motivating your team. They're awesome.
And ask the right questions and tell your manager what's going on. And if you can't talk to your manager, update your CV. Because you need to be able to talk to your manager and you need to be able to give them feedback.
Hashtag do it.
Hashtag do it.
See you guys.
Bye, everyone.
Thanks for listening. Bye.